Hey, what's going on, crypto family? So today we've got a great interview with Bill Ottman. He's been trying to bring people together for a long time via concerts and now with social media network Minds. It's open source code base, transparency, and traditional approach to allow people a voice is starting to gain some real traction. With concerns over practices of Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, we definitely need a social media platform for the people to be able to speak their minds. Pun intended. Just a friendly reminder, the Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of myself, Robert Beatles, and my guests. I am the co-founder and the builder of the Monarch Wallet, host on TradingView Sessions and Crypto Beatles on YouTube. My opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. I am not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is extremely dangerous. You can lose all of your money. Always trade at your own risk. And so without further ado, I give you Bill Ottman. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Bill Ottman with us, man. So it's a pleasure to meet you, man. Thanks a bunch for coming on the channel to talk about yourself and Minds. It's awesome. Good, thanks. Cool, man. So, you know, one of the things I always like to do before, you know, we start talking tech or, you know, talking about the projects and things like that is to kind of get to know the founders, the people behind the projects a little bit. And so, you know, I guess to start with, man, if you could tell us, you know, if you could change anything in the world, you know, what is one of the things that you would change? It's always great to kind of get that perspective of a person.
I am, for anyone who tracks me at all, knows that I'm sort of a freedom of information fanatic. I'm very interested in free and open source software, transparency, access to information, both in governments and corporations. And I sort of feel like that issue is almost like the root issue of many other problems in the world and whatnot. So, you know, if you're concerned about energy, sustainability, corruption, whatever it is, I think that access to information sort of causes all of those other problems to be solved more easily if we can get things opened up.
Awesome, man. So I guess what's kind of your thoughts on the Julian, you know, Assange things with WikiLeaks, right? So what's kind of your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's not a good day for press freedom, or not necessarily a good time for it. You know, I think that people get caught up in it doesn't have to do with defending everything that Assange has ever done. And I think that some people are scared to stand up because they, you know, maybe he has done some questionable things. But the fact is that what he's trying to do is legal. For the most part, I mean, with the hacking charges, I don't even know all the specifics. I think that the general idea of, you know, providing encrypted anonymous Dropbox for sources to share true information about what's going on in the world, you know, unfortunately, that is becoming necessary. You know, you wish that corporations and governments would just share it on their own.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Obviously, I don't support any like illegal behavior, but whistleblower protection is not enough currently. So, you know, you're not giving them much choice if you're not going to provide the necessary protections for whistleblowers.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure, you know, depending on what side of the aisle you're on. But transparency is good. One of the things we love about Bitcoin, right? So that way you can that way you can see where the money's at, where it's been, where it's going, all that kind of cool stuff. So open ledger. So maybe what's some of your background a little bit? You know, maybe tell us just a little about yourself and how you kind of got into crypto and kind of who is Bill Ottman?
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I have organized music festivals, pretty big ones. We worked at Gathering and the Vibes for a while. You know, we have like James Brown, Grateful Dead, the whole Grateful Dead's not in existence, but the surviving ones.
The other the ones that are grateful to be alive.
Yeah. I've always been interested in bringing people together. That is what Minds has originally been about, bringing people together. We used to do live events. I've always been interested in that. And basically what happened is we were a platform for bringing people together in live forums, but we just weren't scaling. I was very skeptical of Facebook right away and didn't want anything to do with it. So I avoided it like the plague for years, just because I saw the effect that it was having on people psychologically and, like, you know, always being on their phones and stuff. I was not into that. But then I sort of fell into crypto and open source and realizing, okay, wait, well, within the internet, there's actually like sort of the ethical side and the unethical side. And there's so much good that you can do in scaling and reaching people in, you know, protecting privacy and, you know, doing the internet properly in more decentralized infrastructures. So I fell into that rabbit hole. And then I realized that if we don't try to build a transparent, secure alternative to Facebook and Google, you know, who's going to? And we've just sort of been rising up. I mean, every time these big scandals happen, we see big surges of users. Got a really awesome community of people who love crypto, who journalists, artists, musicians. We actually built up like millions of people on Facebook like 5-10 years ago. And, you know, that was probably working within the matrix a little bit too much. But as you probably know, Facebook took away everybody's reach. You know, the algorithm only allows 5% organic now. So you're only reaching 5% of your own fans. Makes no sense. Totally bait and switch, you know, ridiculous move by them. Other social networks are starting to do the same thing. And so we just said, look, we are not going to rely on these third parties to, you know, handle our communications with our audiences. It doesn't make any sense. You got to go direct. So had to build a social network.
Of course. If you want it done right, like Thanos says, I'll do it myself. So yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, one of the things with Facebook too, just like you said, you know, we actually used to have really good engagement, you know, just like through my personal channel. You know, I have, you know, thousands and thousands of followers there and used to be able to kind of interact with them. And then I noticed, you know, if you talk about, it seemed like anything Republican at the time, or it seemed like anything crypto, basically, you know, my engagement went to like nothing. So it's just like people were telling me, I never see your posts anymore. So it's like, you know, my engagement on Facebook, I barely ever use it at all anymore. You know, occasionally we'll use it to just post, you know, the video links for one of our interviews on the Crypto Beatles channel, but on my personal page, I never use it anymore. And so I was surfing and checking out, you know, minds.com and opened up an account there yesterday. You know, it's really cool, man. It's one of those things that, you know, it's how social media should be, right? So it looks like you guys are really trying to make sure that censorship, you know, isn't present there, and people that, you know, are trying to get their word out, it gives them kind of a place to do that, right? So, you know, not everybody has to agree. It allows for open debate. It allows for people to share their opinions and to basically have a voice again, and not, you know, not have that algo that just kind of pushes your voice to a whisper, you know, at best. So I like that.
Absolutely. I mean, think about that. If that's, it's happening to everyone. People don't even think it's worth their time to post on Facebook anymore. How do they think that that's a good idea to take the very core value proposition of social media, which is, hey, post and reach your friends. If you can't do that, then okay, bye.
Exactly. and they always try to like take all my friends' contacts right out of my phones. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. And those scandals just keep, I think there was one that came out like 2 days ago saying that they mistakenly imported like, you know, hundreds of millions of people's address books. So it's, you know, and to be honest, that makes it harder for us to grow and reach the network effects that they did, because essentially they reached the network effects because of the surveillance. They, you know, they took everyone's contact information. That's what allowed them to create this social graph. And so it's going to be harder for us. But at the same time, you know, we just have to take the patient long-term approach and say, look, you got to protect people's privacy. And if it's going to work, it's going to work. It's going to catch fire on its own. And yeah, in terms of censorship, the policies of all these big networks make no empirical sense. Even if you look at the actual data about censorship and the effects of it, almost all of the studies show that censorship of lawful content makes those people get further radicalized. It can even cause certain degrees of violence, because people get so upset that they're being silenced and they think that there's some like grand conspiracy against them. You know, there's a really delicate balance. These sites think that they're cleaning up their network, but actually what they're doing is they're causing it to become much more amplified on the internet as a whole. So what we're trying to do is basically create an alliance of networks that understand this theory and that, like, look, we're gonna abide by the law. But beyond that, it's not our place. It's, you know, we're a communication platform, because it's a slippery slope that'll quickly spread into, oh, you know, you can't have a phone number with this company. You can't have a bank account because, you know, you post this kind of content. And it's already starting to do that. So, you know, we got to stand our ground.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. One of the things too that, you know, I liked about your platform was it had a boost button, and on Facebook it has that boost button as well. But for instance, I tried this a while back on one of our videos, just to hit the little boost button. Then you feed it some money, $100, $200, whatever it is, to, you know, maybe reach your audience, right? But then I end up getting a flag message back saying that the content that you know, we're putting out there, you know, is in violation of like Facebook's policies, because it's cryptocurrency, right? so we end up getting like a flag. You know, they have no problem taking money or anything like that, but then they're like, oh yeah, but we can't push that content out here, right? So with your guys's boost, you're not going to obviously, you know, it has to be content that's, you know, obviously not illegal and stuff like that, but, you know, regular content, just say blockchain or cryptocurrency. If they hit that boost button, who does that go to? Does that go to people outside of your network? Does that go to your friends and followers? Or does it just go to like new genres, like the new hashtags? Because there's hashtags that kind of separate everything out there, like say photos versus blockchain, right? So if I hit the boost button, would it then hit all the people in the photo area as well? Or how does that work?
So currently, yeah. So basically, you earn tokens for your contributions every day, and one token will give you 1,000 impressions when you boost with it. So, you know, boost for 5 tokens, you get 5,000 impressions on your video or your photo or whatever. That currently is being served chronologically to all the active users on the site as they're going through their newsfeed. We're about to be adding in targeting, but it's consensual opt-in targeting on the individual's end. So if you say, I want to see posts about blockchain and crypto and technology, then that's where we're taking it. But these are people beyond your network. So we're never going to limit your reach to your own subscribers. That will always be 100% raw chronological. Like, that core concept is essential. We can never abandon that. I think that, look, algorithms, suggestions, you know, you're in your Facebook newsfeed, you have no idea why you're seeing what you're seeing. They're even starting to do that on Instagram. I think that stuff is fine, maybe as an alternative option, but the default newsfeed needs to stay pure, because otherwise you're interfering with people's decision to, you know, subscribe to each other. We're not going to mess with that.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, I noticed too that it allows you to use the tokens to not only to boost your post, but also to get views and things like that. So, you know, one of the things you always worry about is, are they fake views? Are they real views? I guess, what's the algorithm, or what are you guys using to ensure that those views, you know, are actually seen by people? And what's the user base right now? How many users do you guys have on there, right?
So we've got 1.75 million registered. We probably got like 250,000 active. And, you know, the code is open source. So gitlab.com/mines, like, you can check what the code is doing for serving the views. We are trying to figure out how to validate the impressions further. Right now, you can boost on-chain or off-chain. So for the on-chain boost, you know, a checksum of data about the boost does get published on chain so that you can see that it went through, and there's a reference to the data, to the advertised content. But that's only really 50% of the equation. We're trying to figure out how to potentially even publish certain content on chain when you do an on chain boost. So that is a process in itself. We definitely want to be able to validate more. I mean, to be honest, the best way to see if it's getting served is to see the results that you get, and you will get results. I mean, if you're posting diverse content, memes, photos, articles, you know, all different kinds of multimedia that you know has done well elsewhere, you will see engagement. I mean, I get better engagement on Minds than Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else. So, you know, the engagement speaks for itself, I think. What we're seeing is that creators are having an easier time building an audience on Minds, even though we're a fraction of the size of the big networks. You know, a lot of time you'll be posting on Twitter or Facebook just into a total void. It's just a waste of your time. But there's people on Minds who like really care about this stuff and want to build communities. And it's an interesting phenomenon that we're so much smaller, but yet you can grow like thousands of people in a following almost easier.
Because it's real. So, yeah. You know what I mean? You're not being silenced, right? So, especially if you have good content and you've got a message people want to hear, people gravitate towards that, right? So, you know, rather than just having ads pushed down their throats and things like that, one of the big problems we've had in blockchain with social media is we've never had anything that really works well. You know, you got Steemit and stuff like that, and it's crap. It doesn't work well at all. And they got a lot of stuff that they need to do. And this actually works really well. So how did you, or what part of it, I guess, actually runs on blockchain? You said it was open source, which is awesome because you'd never see a Facebook do that, right? They would never share their algorithms or share their code with people. They would, that's kind of like the, you know, the secret sauce. So that's awesome that you're doing that. But what part of blockchain is being used in mines? You got the boss in there, huh?
Background noise.
That's awesome, man. How many kids you got?
Two and, well, one on the way.
Awesome, man. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah. She's, it always makes me think, you know, that BBC, that famous BBC clip where like the guy's broadcasting and his little kid comes in on the little rolly thing and then the wife comes in and like dive bombs for her. I love that.
That's better than the naked dude walking behind you as you're talking. So.
We were talking about the open source. Oh, so what runs on the blockchain? So it's an ERC-20. So it's on Ethereum. So all of the Boost can run on chain. The peer-to-peer transactions between users. So I can tip you with tokens. I can.
That's Facebook trying to silence you.
Yeah. So you can actually subscribe monthly. You can set up reward tiers, sort of like a crypto Patreon type functionality. So people can subscribe to you monthly. That can be running on chain. So basically the whole reward system is running through the blockchain, but we do some off chain stuff so that basically we don't have to deal with the big gas fees on Ethereum. So like when we airdrop the tokens to the whole community every day, we do that off chain. We would do it on chain, sure. But we just have to figure out a way to deal with the gas. So, you know, but we're constantly evolving and looking for new and better solutions. You made some good suggestions about, you know, loading up your wallet with tokens and Ether before that we need to make easier. And we are working on that now. We're probably also going to be adding multi-currency support in the peer-to-peer. So you can send, you know, not just Mines tokens, but any kinds of crypto and, you know, even fiat between accounts, which I think is really important.
Nice. And then as far as like right now, it allows for photos. I didn't see the ability for videos yet. Is that?
Yeah,
you
can just attach videos. We only support up to, videos very expensive. So we're figuring out a way to make that more feasible to do like unlimited video. But a basic account can upload videos up to 15 minutes each. If you have Minds Plus, you can do up to 30 minutes. And we're trying to figure out a way to make it cheaper. We do native video. That's really important. We also just launched video chat in groups through an open source encrypted video chat platform called Jitsi, which is really cool. So you can sort of have like live conversations if you set up a group. And we're going to be looking more into live streaming, and video is essential. So we know we have to go there.
Yeah, I just saw what PewDiePie moved over to DLive. So that's definitely a step in the right direction, man, getting people away from the centralized, you know, solutions and more into stuff like that. Do you guys have like a hybrid solution, or is everything on chain? So like the photos and videos, are those, you know, stored, you know, on chain, or those, you know, on some AWS servers?
No, we're not. I mean, we're looking into IPFS right now for some more peer-to-peer content hosting, but no, we're not storing content beyond the transactions on chain. But we do have an app called Nomad that we're working on, which is fully decentralized. So Mines, you know, to be honest, it's mostly centralized infrastructure with decentralized services. We're definitely focused on trying to have a fully decentralized sort of parallel option for people so that you can decide. Because the tricky thing is that for user control, if you want to be able to delete stuff, you kind of need servers. because, you know, you can't delete from the blockchain or from, you know, torrents and whatnot very easily.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's one of the things that I've said for a long time is what would be great is if we have a social network like yourself, that it's kind of a hybrid to where the important stuff, like your subscribers, your fans, your personal data is, you know, on the blockchain, decentralized, you always have access to it. But the stuff that's big and clunky and slows down, you know, layer one solutions like the photos, the videos that, you know, basically, you know, keep steam from ever becoming good, you know, that stuff, you know, you throw it on servers because they can always shut down your account or delete your videos. You can always put up new videos, new content, no problem. But the main thing is to be able to have access to your subscribers and to your fans and into all that critical information.
You know, that's real. I appreciate it. I think that's important information. I agree with you. I think that there's that core social network, your own social network that should be portable and you should have control over. So I'll definitely keep that in mind as we're figuring out what to basically keep on chain. The other important thing about the way that our rewards work in contrast to Steemit is that, you know, I sort of don't hate on them too much because it was sort of an interesting experiment. But what happened is that basically the more steam you have, the more voting power you have. So everyone's just trying to get the attention of like 100 people with a bunch of voting power. And that is problematic for obvious reasons. So our rewards every day are based on the unique engagement that you receive. So literally whoever is bringing the most unique engagement to the network is going to be earning the most. So the people who are bringing the most energy are going to be earning the most. It's not just about catching the attention of the popular people. Hopefully that's more fair. And you know, when we create our token, like founders didn't get any tokens. We had a product working, you know, we basically, our token sales are our revenue. So, you know, people buy the tokens, and then it sort of acts as like a gift card to then go and get views or upgrade your account or send to other users and whatnot. So there's more information. I don't know if you saw minds.com/token, but that's where all that stuff is.
Nice. I'll make sure to post all that for people. But yeah, we definitely need a decentralized, you know, social media platform where people can, you know, trust it, right? So that's one of the big things of what we have now. Yeah, so it's definitely going to be cool to see, you know, how far you guys take this and, you know, as far as getting the word out there to people. What's kind of your guys' marketing plan to, you know, draw more awareness and to get more people, you know, behind this? Do you guys have any, I mean, obviously you talk about rewarding people for, you know, for posting, but what's kind of like your grand vision here for like a mass marketing approach to open this up to the world other than just the crypto people?
I think it has to do, you know, there's a really interesting global conversation going on around censorship, surveillance. I mean, the big influencers are starting to key into these issues. I mean, you mentioned PewDiePie joining DLive. You know, there's others. I was on Rogan the other day and that, you know, he gets it. You know, these types of characters are starting to wake up to what's going on. And, you know, you just have to ask yourself, like, do these networks deserve my energy? And so if we can even start to get some of the clued in influencers to migrate over, that's what we have noticed so far in our past. The two main ways we've seen massive growth spurts were when there's big scandals on other networks and people are just organically looking for alternatives, or when big YouTubers come over and just bring their whole audiences. Like, I don't know if you know Tim Pool, he's a investigative journalist on YouTube, has a really big following. He's, you know, killing it. He's a big supporter of ours. And these are people who really care about these issues. I think that there are tens of millions of people on the internet for sure who are concerned about this. And so we just got to bring them all together. And that's sort of the initial niche community. And from there, it's just about getting, you know, those people to bring in their immediate networks. But the thing is that you can't expect people to care about privacy. You know, there has to be value beyond ethical stuff, because the reality is that most people just don't care. What I think most people do care about is their likes. So if your likes are going down and you hear, oh, okay, so this app doesn't restrict my reach, I can get more reach, I can earn crypto, I can earn money. I mean, look, people on Instagram, literally, Facebook knows that they can cause depression by limiting people's likes. When they bring in those algorithms, not only are they just screwing over businesses, they've done studies about mental health in relation to social media engagement. So, you know, this is a twisted reality, but they sort of know that they're causing like teenage girls to have like meltdowns when they take away their reach. And so I think people have a primal desire to be heard. So when you take that away from them, it's not cool. And we're really trying to do the opposite of that. So hopefully, you know, with all those forces coming together, we can start to reach some new levels. But, you know, I don't know if that.
Yeah, no, that covered a lot, man. Yeah, the social acceptance and social approval, and when the likes go down, yeah, so do their spirits. That's that's pretty deep, man. Yeah, but I imagine that is 100% true. What you need to do is you mentioned you're on Rogan. You need to get him to come over. He's like the number one, like everything out there right now is podcast.
Yeah, no, he's on. He's on. We got a huge spike when he came over. He does. You know, he's that guy is. Probably the busiest dude on the planet. Well, maybe not. Probably, but he's up there. He's disciplined and he's doing a lot of stuff. So I think that, you know, he's got our back, and I'm sure that he'll start poking around more in the future. But no, he does have a presence.
Awesome, man. So what's maybe a book that you recommend other people that, you know, is important to you, maybe changed your life, something that you think other people should read?
I just read this really cool anthology of Orwell called Truth, which was killer. It was just short passages from like 10 of his books, everything from Animal Farm to 1984. And it was all talking about basically who controls the information flow. And, you know, whoever controls the information flow is essentially controlling history and the public's perception of what is real and what is true. And I definitely recommend it. It was really cool. I'm not going to say it's the best book I've ever read, but sure. It's probably the most recent one that had a big impact on me.
Gotcha. So what about favorite movie? Or could
favorite movie? I'm going to answer this just in the more recent sense, but I just watched The Pianist. Holy shit, dude. I mean, that was insane. There's so much in there. Basically, this pianist who's like behind enemy lines, hiding during the war, World War II, and there's so much interplay between the social division based on race and religion, but basically how sometimes you have enemies, but sometimes you're friends with your enemies, and just raw humanity. It was insane. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't. No, The Pianist.
Yeah, I know. It was the best picture. Like, I forget when. In the last 10 years, it was best picture. It was really amazing.
Okay, maybe I'm trying to think if I remember. Yeah, I'll definitely look it up. But yeah, I don't think I've seen it. Sounds awesome, man. And then if you were a president of the United States, man, for a day, or maybe just an hour, what's the one law you would either, you know, pull back, or one law that you would push forward?
I would open up Freedom of Information Act massively so that the whole, as much as possible, maybe not the nuclear launch codes or the cocktails to bioweapons is released, but, you know, just about everything else. And I've always said this, I would just hop on a live streaming video conference with all the other world leaders and say, hey guys, what the hell are we doing here? Can we, can we get on the same page?
Love it, man. Very, very cool stuff, man. So where can people go to learn more about you and learn more about Minds?
Yeah, hit me up, minds.com/Ottman, OTTMAN. Definitely hit me up and let me know thoughts. Look, I mean, we're a work in progress. We're moving really quickly. I mean, we've done a lot of UX work over the last few months. We've hired some new people. And, you know, we are developing in direct response to what the community wants. That's what's happening over on GitLab. Like, all of our project development is done totally out in the open. There's no reason for us to build anything that the community isn't asking for. So, you know, we will implement your ideas. So definitely reach out.
It's awesome, man. So we'll make sure to post the links for everybody. Really appreciate you coming on. I know you got a busy day ahead of you, so I'll let you get to it. And make sure you guys keep us posted. Let us know about how we can help, you know, as a community, where we can join, all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, post the link to this on your Minds page, and I'll share it around. Get the momentum going.
Awesome. Well, it was great to meet you. God bless, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks, Robert. Later, man.
Hey, welcome back, peeps. Big thanks to Bill. Really appreciate you coming on and everything that you're trying to do for the world. It's extremely important that our voices are not silenced and that we have a place to openly express our views, debate with others, while keeping our personal data secure. So, kudos to Bill and his team. I'll definitely be trying Minds out myself in the future. If you're not subscribed, well, you should be. Make sure you tell your friends, your family, all that kind of good stuff. Thanks again, Bill. Appreciate you. God bless all of you. Love you. Catch you on the next one. Just a friendly reminder, the Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of myself, Robert Beatles, and my guests. I am the co-founder and the builder of the Monarch Wallet, host on TradingView Sessions and Crypto Beatles on YouTube. My opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. I am not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is extremely dangerous. You can lose all of your money. Always trade at your own risk.